Welcome to the Procurement Show.
Hello and welcome to the Procurement Show, the show that tackles the topics we all need to think about and sets out to explore the more interesting bits of procurement. I'm Jonathan O'Brien.
And I'm Paul Philpott, and I'm... Oh, it says here, this weekend I'm washing Jonathan O'Brien's car.
I never know what you're going to say when we do that. This week, we're focusing on category management and the future of category management, and in particular, how digital category management will transform how we determine and implement breakthrough sourcing strategies into the future.
The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, enabling the future of procurement in organizations around the globe.
To help us, our guest this week has a lot to say on category management and regularly posts thought-provoking articles on LinkedIn. His LinkedIn profile describes him as someone who transforms the procurement organization to be a high-performing function from 50% strategy, people collaboration, and 50% processes, data, digital, and tech. He spent 10 years in strategic positions driving transformation and 15 years in procurement operations. He's been the global process owner for strategic procurement for Novartis. He is a sustainable procurement ambassador. And today he is the director of procurement and capability standards for Fresenius Medical Care. Please welcome to the Procurement Show, Stefan Morrell. Stefan, welcome.
Hello.
Great that you could join us today.
Hello, Jonathan and Paul, and thanks for the opportunity.
I know that we're both very passionate about category management. And more importantly, you and I both know the scale of effort required to do great category management, because we've both done it. And what's actually required to develop and implement what we like to call breakthrough strategies. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to talk about the future of category management, and to kick us off here, the new sort of digital category management that everybody is talking about. So what exactly do we mean here? What is the future of category management and what is digital category management?
You and me, I think we have heard quite many times, big headlines around the death of category management. So I'm sorry, but when we see now our ultra VUCA world, or maybe if you want to say the increasingly strategic or even operational contribution of the suppliers in any company, we just need more and more category management. So I would say long life category management, but you're right, we need to evolve it. It's not a revolution. So I see a few points over there. Maybe first I like to say that category management, less is more. So I would rather do full category management only for our most relevant categories, and we do it well. So then what do we do for the rest? So look, a good strategic sourcing process and contract lifecycle management for me would be more than enough. The second point, I'm now quite keen to start category management from the outcome. It's what I call the category strategy canvas, instead of a classical 5 or 7 step approach. So we try to make it a little bit less linear. And I would say, and here, Jonathan, we fully align, category management is about business and planet first. So that's how I see the future. Now, when we build the strategy, we should become much stronger on also few relevant topics. So we've got buying channel strategy. We've got obviously risk management. We've said before with the planet, we've got ESG or digital and tech from the supply market point of view. And I guess innovation will also remain stronger. Now, to digital category management. Now we are having great news in terms of new solutions over there. For me, it provides a good framework. It will for sure increase collaboration. And we will also have fully connected, let's say, supplier and market intelligence. That's really good. A lot of promises related to learning management and AI kind of guided recommendations. And for me, at the end, the game is to make category management much more flexible, easy to adjust based on any internal or external changes or impacts. And I think digital Catman can help us there.
What's wrong with how organizations do category management? I want to say Kathmandu. What are the problems that we're trying to fix by using this methodology?
Are you sure you want the list? Because I think that...
Oh, right, okay.
I think it's going to be a big list. Let's do the list.
We'll leave you to do the list. We'll go and have dinner. We'll come back.
Let me think about it. With no specific order here. collaborate more with the business. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be an isolated exercise. We know that perfectly. Also a problem when it comes to analyze internal and external data. It's hard, but we need to think that we just don't now want the data. Mm-hmm. We need to generate business insights, and that's very difficult. Problem linked to the approval of the strategy or the initiatives, problems related to the implementation of the initiatives. I think also a challenge related to the collaboration and how we further integrate key suppliers. Is it really part of our category strategies? Not always well formalized. We need also to move from savings to value. Procurement performance. Honestly, if you're just focusing on savings, you don't need category management. And related to that, by the way, we could also have some issues when it comes to distinguish clearly between category management, strategic sourcing process, contract management, supplier relationship management. Sometimes all that is a little bit mixed mm-hmm. and confusing.
Yeah.
So we should really spend some time clarifying that and aligning on the definition, especially within big procurement organizations. Aligning the needs between the global, regional, local stakeholders. We know that it can be quite hard. Before we talked about data and insights, so we should be moving to a predictive analysis. Easy to say, not easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe stop wasting time with Excel and PowerPoint. And finally, just at the end, look how we can fix the knowledge management issues we've got. So, Paul, somehow list then.
And I'll just put out an apology for all those Excel lovers out there.
Yeah. I've heard many people say that, stop wasting time on Excel and PowerPoint, which is absolutely right. For some, it's all they've got. We need to remember there's still companies out there that are a long way behind the curve on this stuff.
And actually, just something completely off-piste. Yeah. I actually stumbled across, and I don't know if you found this stuff, the Excel games. Have you seen this?
I have a life.
You need to Google it. The Excel games.
Okay.
It's literally like an e-sport where you get different teams of people and they're given challenges, formulae and results and data
need
to analyze.
More.
And it's absolutely fascinating. There you go.
3 weeks ago, in one of our hubs, we create a kind of Excel game.
Yes.
I was very lucky that one of my team members was the winner of the championship. So.
Well,
there you go.
Am I in the minority here that I just don't do those things? I think so.
You need to stay in more.
I need to definitely, yeah. I want to just talk about the evolution of category management because I've been doing category management for 20 years. It's a long time anyway. It's changed a lot in that time in terms of how we do category management. We go right back to the original process and templates, which again is still the way many companies do it and it still has its place for many. And we began to see the sort of emergence of some of the first digital tools, initially digitization of the process. So you'd be like a checkbox project management type thing where you would check as you worked through the process and it would give some sort of management dashboard. And, you know, in recent years, we've seen the emergence of some more digitization and then gamification. You know, we've been developing our Capella tool for 5 years now that has created a gamification, an algorithm-based approach to category management and starting to link that to data. So we've had this evolution. But one of the things that strikes me here is all of the evolutions so far have been developments on the traditional linear step-by-step model. And you mentioned earlier 5-step process, other steps are available, of course. But do you think that as you get more technically proficient here, that instead of trying to replicate and improve a linear model, there just might be a complete shift here. So less linear steps. And we just get this single point. Okay, what's my category strategy now, today, in the marketplace at this time?
I can't agree more with you on that, Jonathan. We've got the very typical 5-step. I think 8 steps mm-hmm. now. And generally, after 3 or 4 steps, already representing literally dozens of slides of analysis, you know, we expect the category manager to make the summary or to make the strategy. So basically, far too often, the strategy is quite traditional. We often maybe miss clear links between the analysis and the strategic recommendation. More recently, as I have said before, I moved to the concept of reverse category management. So we start from the outcome, and the outcome is a strategy canvas. And then in this strategy canvas, we've got several building blocks. And here, it's not a revolution because I would say sadly, or that's what we have today, each building block, we've got in all of them the traditional category management tools, because I think those are good analytical tools for category management. Yeah. So I don't need to change them. But yes, once we have our first canvas, the idea is to see how our internal or external changes can impact one or several building blocks. So when you start to think about your canvas, I think it's getting more and more distributed, less linear. Mm-hmm. It's what I have seen here and what we are trying to achieve. And my past experience in the platform of Katman was still quite, anyway, somehow linear still.
The Procurement Show, exploring the more interesting bits about procurement. And now, the Procurement Fun Fact. This edition's exciting tale of preposterous procurement, bizarre buying, or simply saucy sourcing.
Today's fun fact is courtesy of Peter Smith's book, Bad Buying. As any procurement professional will tell you, changing suppliers can be troublesome, none less than when KFC decided to change their logistics supplier back in 2018 from Bidvest to DHL. The result was KFC outlets across the UK ran out of chicken and stores had to close for quite some time. It got so bad that the police had to issue statements asking the public to stop calling them to complain about not being able to buy fried chicken.
This is true.
The reasons why everything went wrong were never made public. Some reports claim that DHL were using a cold storage facility to store the chicken in Rugby, but failed to get the facility registered or inspected. Other reports blamed a shortage of truck drivers, hold-ups, or system failures. Whatever the root cause was, the change of supplier led to a nationwide closure of KFC outlets for quite some time. No one could get fried chicken, there was no finger licking, and the Colonel stopped smiling for a time.
I remember that. I remember on social media there was Chicken Watch.
The Procurement Fun Fact. Contact us by email. hello@theprocurementshow.com. Send us a tweet @procurementshow. Or connect with us on LinkedIn. Search for The Procurement Show.
In a world where the big companies we rely on can't get procurement right, where suppliers dominate and value is missed, one man made it his mission to change procurement. He battled adversity and traveled the world in a quest like no other, in the pursuit of the book of books that would bring hope and enlightenment to every procurement professional. Category Management in Purchasing, the 5th edition. By Jonathan O'Brien. Available from Kogan Page, Amazon, and all good booksellers.
On The Procurement Show, we regularly hear about the importance of people and how working together across an organisation, it's key to not only category management, but to the very ethics how an organisation works and strategic procurement in general. We love working together as teams. Is there a risk that as we adopt more and more digital, which I always find very difficult to say, category management solutions, that we lose the essence of people and working together? If so, what are the implications of that?
Maybe, Paul, here I've got a different view now when you're talking about collaboration. So until now, we can't say that working on Excel and PowerPoint has been so helpful for collaboration. So far, collaboration for me in category management have been somehow linked to maybe the company culture, maybe the procurement culture. But for sure, I would say collaboration has been a lot based on each category manager. We have seen very good example and very bad example with purely isolated exercise from the category manager, and it doesn't get anywhere. So I don't see more risk clearly with digital category management. In my past experience, when I deployed eCatman, the first step to get access to the platform was to create a working team mm-hmm. in the system. So the category manager was coming with his or her working team, and then the platform can allow for online workshops. It can allow for validation points or even having comments, you know, on online, wherever you want the comments to take place. So I'm not afraid. I'm even more positive and optimistic in terms of collaboration thanks to digital procurement. And it's not the case for every platform. But here, for eCatman, let's say, mm-hmm. I'm quite positive.
And just to build on that, if we think about what's made category management successful in the past, it's about people doing those things to come up with a good category strategy. And here we are talking about digital solutions that can determine a category strategy. I still think it's really early days, but already I hear people saying, hey, we don't need category managers anymore because we're going to have this digital Catman solution. But if we get to the point where the technology is determining the strategy, then how can we know it's robust? If we do start to take the people out of this, how do we know the strategy is robust? It's like a black box that does magic things.
Are you going to mention those two letters?
No.
No, you're not.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
But we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that.
I'm with you, Jonathan. That's just the start. We've got a lot of promises. And look, I like to say that technology can align, can alleviate, accelerate, automate the analysis, the work in general. I hope that technology will allow us to make it more in real time and even predictive. I start to have my depth here with machine learning, AI.
Ah, he said,
yeah,
he
said, yeah, you said the, it first. Yes,
the two
you
letters.
Said it first.
The AI, you said AI.
You said AI you, first, yeah. Ah, yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry, go on.
Done.
Yes.
So look, I hope the platform can make recommendations. I would say it can really help us on creating our storytelling. I see that very positive now. But mm-hmm. anyway, introducing the internal context, making the final decision should be still done by the team. And brilliant. When you refer to the black box, Janelle, it's where I'm afraid now. We need to have in the tool somehow the different steps, because basically you could eliminate and hide all the questions where the machine is working alone. Yeah. I still need to see the answers of those intermediate questions in order for me to judge that the final recommendation is good. If we jump directly to the final recommendation, we won't be able to make the decision.
You need to get under the hood, right? You need to be able to see what's going on. How did you get here? Do I agree?
I guess it's a rationale.
Yeah.
Yes. I wouldn't trust the machine directly. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we know that with AI, we've got many miracles now, right now on paper, but today we talk more and more about biases. When we talk about predictive, you know, it's based on the quality on the past data. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit worried also on the predictive piece of that. And we also have the topic of confidentiality. So really, do we think that all the customers will throw their strategies where they can be all analyzed, all benchmarked? I'm not sure that all companies will do that. They want to be in a very secured environment only for them. So this category recommendation will work if we are able to compare many, many strategies from many companies. And I'm not sure from a security point of view it will really happen.
You raise a very, very good point, because it covers the fact that we don't know how it works. It does it, but we don't know how it works, and we don't quite know how it may or may not be learning mm-hmm. from other people's data sets and data sources, and things aren't necessarily as fully sandboxed as we think. I want to just bring it back to people and skills. So do procurement people need new skills now? Perhaps with, so we say, less emphasis on traditional procurement and more on embracing tech and using tech, data and digital in order to move things forward correctly.
I had the chance to set up and launch a couple of procurement academies in my past experience, and now I'm also doing that right now at Fresenius. So the content of the procurement academies have changed over time for sure, and now there is no option and then having a wide, maybe a too big portfolio of trainings on different building blocks. Right now, I like to have four building blocks. The first one is obviously the onboarding. So what do you need to know from your procurement organization when you start a job? We will have to learn on the policies, the processes. And by the way, more and more platforms, no? Like, for example, e-sourcing. We can have even a special e-sourcing platforms for some categories. We could mention maybe transport. We need to learn more and more on buying channels. Contract lifecycle management, we will have our spend visibility platform because now we try to have this kind of ecosystem, no, of tool and platforms. No? So that's the onboarding piece. So a lot of technology already there. Then we move to hard skills. Not a lot of change there in terms of hard skills, but once again, we will have the platforms associated. So for more and more companies, we will have now category management with a digital category management platform. So hard skills, no big change, honestly. Maybe we will have to talk about negotiation with the negotiation bots, no? Or negotiation platforms. Maybe this will be part also of the hard skills. Soft skills have been growing a lot. So we talk a lot about emotional intelligence, all the soft skills around business partnering. And in soft skills, you can put a little bit of change management and resilience due to all the change fatigue also we can have. And finally, there is a more recent building block, which are called emerging capabilities. And here you can put topics around innovation, so mostly around the design thinking, for example. You will have, of course, a bit of agile. So I don't know, Paul, we say AI before and the tick in the box.
Agile.
Agile.
We will put for sure data and analytics, RPA. So just to give you an example, a few years ago, we created a RPA university and 15 plus of our associates really became bot developers or bot coders.
Wow.
And we had also associates super comfortable with the low and no coding apps, okay, kind of Airtable, also using Microsoft workflows, etc. Obviously, in this emerging building blocks, you will have, sorry, once again, AI. And why not? We can put also entrepreneurship. So that's how I see it. So yes, we are putting more and more, but we cannot get rid of onboarding. We cannot get rid of hard skills anyway. So we are just summing.
I think we need to launch Stefan's procurement bingo.
Yes, tick the words all off. I've got nearly a full scorecard here.
Really? I've got a full house. Yeah, that's it. Full house is the term. But Stefan listed a very comprehensive set of different skills. As a trainer, Jonathan, are you fearful that we're losing or being undertrained in any of those skills particularly?
There's an important differentiation between the technical skills and some of the inbuilt, perhaps innate to personality type skills in some cases. So there's a difference. You can learn the procurement stuff. You know, I've been teaching people how to do it for the last 20 something years. You can learn that stuff, but how to have that curiosity, the mind that does some of these things and thinks about data in a different way, that's not necessarily something you can teach. You either have a mind for numbers and how stuff works and you find your way into that profession or you don't. So we've got to come back to personality type. We've got to come back to how people are wired and let them learn those skills as well as part of doing it for real. Then give them the procurement skills. And one of the things that I say increasingly is the best procurement people are not procurement people these days. They've got these other disciplines that they've developed and then they learn the procurement stuff on top of that and become really brilliant, which I think brings me on to how we do breakthrough. Because some of the best category strategies I've seen over the years are the breakthrough ones where they've not just done a category strategy, but they said, what if we do this differently? What if we do the same thing again, but better or cheaper? Or what if we don't buy it? Let's make it. Or what if we find a completely different way of doing things? Guess the common theme in all of those breakthrough strategies isn't that somebody's done something magical with the category management process, but it's that somebody that's clever and curious and motivated, which is your point just now, Paul, these people have worked together to say, why do we do it like that? So I worry as we get more digital, how can we ensure that that magic fairy dust that gives you breakthrough categories, how can we make sure we don't lose that, Stefan?
I'm quite clear on the 50% human, 50% machine. There's no competition here. It's not about polarization. And I think right now we see that too often. We need the human first. supported by the technology, and the technology, by the way, will be deployed and used thanks to human. All the procurement teams right now are going through this journey somehow, no? And there is no other alternative. As you say, we have amazing category managers doing a great job today, and others are just, let's say, obsessed by spend transparency, fulfilling the PowerPoint templates. And finally, by the way, they are happy to present a rather pretty poor strategy. My point is, same with digital. Jonathan, I don't see any risk here. The way you will use the platform is how you want to use it. And great category managers will even better benefit from the tool or just use the tool. And the one who don't want to make any extra effort will use the tool anyway. So I don't see difference.
It's time to Ask Jonathan.
And today's Ask Jonathan comes from Ellen Oberg, who writes, Jonathan, I attended your recent webinar on digital category management. Sorry about that. Somebody had to.
Well, you weren't.
No, I didn't get the invite. You talked a lot about the future of data and how the emerging systems will access data to determine category strategies. My question is, what if the data we are using is no good? How can we know we are starting with good data?
It's a great question. And we're in this transition because the old or the historic current tech platforms are such that you buy a platform to do something in procurement and it gives you data and it comes from somewhere. But really, it is about, you know, as we say on the show, the future is about good data. And the platforms that serve this stuff up aren't going to be the ones that provide the data in the future. What the leaders in this space are doing is they are saying, well, we're not going to provide a platform. We're going to be about data. And a lot of that is manually crunched. People, largely in India, teams of people that are crunching, that are acquiring data, crunching it and serving it up. So if you're doing a category management strategy and you want data for about $2,500, you can buy a set of data for that category, which in theory is all the latest data around everything you need to know about that category, the market, and some of the geopolitical stuff. Is it good? Well, it's as good as the data sources that are available. The problem is today we're not thinking about how good the data is. So the future is around how you can go and get data from multiple sources and be able to triangulate that together so you get insight around how a marketplace is structured, what's happening in the world, the geopolitical changes at any one particular time, all of your internal stuff around spend and so on. So how can we know it's good? Well, you've got to ask that question because we don't. And garbage in, garbage out. If you start with poor data, you're going to have a bad category strategy or indeed whatever else you're trying to do. So actually, good procurement is becoming around how do I make sure I've got the right data sources to properly understand a market, a supply chain, and everything else that's happening in the world or the wider organization.
Thank you very much for your answer and thank you very much for your question. If you want to submit a question to Jonathan, here's how to get in touch.
Ask Jonathan. Email your question to jonathan@theprocurementshow.com. You might be part of the next show. The Procurement Show. The latest thinking, the greatest insights.
Now, we've heard on many times in the Procurement Show about the future is all about data. Yep. That should be another.
Are you going to mention the two words, two letters?
Tick. No, I'm not actually. Okay. Yeah, tick. And it seems that category management, I mean, quite rightly so, it's all about data about market, suppliers, what's happening in our supply chains, what's happening in the world, what's happening in our businesses. How do you think, Stefan, that data fits within the future of category management? And I guess I also want to touch on something you mentioned earlier, considering your point about understanding and realizing the difference between data and insight.
We know that data collection is hard. Getting the information is hard. By the way, I think many companies or big companies have been spending huge amounts of money in the data lakes. And the water of those data lakes is still quite dirty and not transparent. So now, once again, AI will solve our data problems. So look, I would like to see that. But for me, the real topic is the following is we spent a lot of time on past data. If we continue to have somehow bad data, I would even prefer to have the same bad data, but for the future. So that would be my starting point. If we cannot do anything about it,
yeah,
think more about the future than the past. And in category management, you've said it's not the data, it's really what we do with them. We need insights. And once again, this is an extra effort. And it's where, Jonathan, you were talking about the outstanding strategies, is when we have those guys really looking for insights beyond the data.
Yeah, definitely. If I'm a CPO, and I regularly have this conversation with CPOs that say, I'm just new to position and procurement's tactical, it's in the dark ages, you know, the team are half good, but they're all switched off. And those are the sorts of conversations that I have. And they say things like, my team are tactical, how can I implement category management? How can I use that to get it to realize the organizational targets? If you were talking to a CPO who's starting from scratch, what do you think they should do in the first 100 days if they want to try and create a performing category management-based organization?
Maybe in two parts. In 2012, I wrote a book on procurement. I won't advertise it because it's in Spanish. But basically, I put all the activities of a transformation in procurement for the 100 days, even the first 18 months, in six boxes once again. It was about strategy first, then people. You look at your pipeline. You work on your operating model. Then you've got a bit of change management and business partnering. And finally, it's all about self-management. Nothing really new there. I just put it with a procurement lens. And now if we focus a bit more on category management, the problem I see is that in many cases, we do it the wrong way. We think first about the org chart, and we split between our category towers, our regions, and then, by the way, we put immediately the number of FTEs, and then we look basically at what they're going to do. So doing like that never, ever works. So for me, the right way, it's easy to say but not easy to do, is can we agree first on definitions? Once again, even better if we've got inputs and outputs of each activity or methodology or process, whatever we want to call it. So what does what I've said before, no? Category management means strategic sourcing, contract lifecycle management, a category strategy maybe versus a sourcing instructions. Mm-hmm. What is supplier performance management versus SRM? Once you've got that, the second point for me, I had to negotiate very hard in the past to get that, is a real category segmentation, not defining my categories. I already have my category nomenclature, but at subcategory level, we do a kind of Halgic matrix analysis. So with a couple of few questions, you will have four types of subcategories. You will have global category management or global sourcing or regional category management or regional sourcing. When you've got those four types of subcategories, it's very easy then to align the roles and responsibilities between the category team and the regional and country teams. So once you've got that, for me, you can start to pilot. You take a couple of global category management and global sourcing subcategories, you pilot, then you scale. So finally, now step number four, you can build your org chart. You can move your FTs where needed. That's the logical way. That's the most effective way. But normally, we do exactly the contrary, no? From four mm-hmm. to one, mm-hmm. again and again. So for me, it's a little bit frustrating. I'm a global process owner. I'm quite obsessed with methodology. And I'm frustrated when I see this wrong order.
It's clear to understand when this is done well,
yes.
It's done well.
It's awesome. And it's very rare, you know, again, done this for a number of years now, that you see it done well. Most people that do this don't do it well. And they don't do it well because the organization doesn't invest in doing it well and thinks that you can just put people on a training course and they'll do it well, which they don't. But when it's done well, it's game changing for an organization.
I've got a question to both of you, if I may. And it's all about innovation, because it seems that I've got a bit of a fear that if there's a little bit of a risk that we can somehow lose the ability to secure supply side innovation if we format things in this way as we move towards a digital approach. Because we know that when it's done well, good category management can encourage and drive innovation. Where are the risks and how do we protect creativity in all the aspects of the supply chain?
Yeah, it goes back to what Stefan was saying. It's about people, because, you know, we know that AI isn't particularly good at creativity. So it's about people being able to think about how do we do this differently? So figuring out that innovation, that's the easy bit, but you need a human bit, actually driving that hard change in so you can then change hearts and minds. That's the hardest bit. Mm. And that's uphill into machine gun fire with the sun in your eyes. That's the real hard bit around being able to make innovation happen, because you've got to change how people do stuff, and people don't like change. So it's about change management. Stefan, what do you think?
Once again, for me, digital will not change the point if a category manager is deciding to think about innovation. Today, you've got PowerPoint. Today, you've got more or less robust process, maybe not digitized yet, but you've got category manager who are not thinking at any time out of the box, and some category manager who do it. Why do we want a category management platform really stopping this creative thinking from the good guys? I don't see a risk neither here.
I want to ask just one more thing, which is about sustainability. We haven't talked about that.
Topic.
That's tick box there, I think, for today. How can category management enable the organization to achieve its supply-side sustainability goals?
ESG should be everywhere and is everywhere in category management. When you are starting your category management, you are starting with the business priorities or the needs for many categories. So, do we have any first ESG priorities? That's the first question. Then, in your internal analysis, ESG is all along the way. External analysis, for sure, there is no doubt. So at the end, obviously, ESG should be part of the strategies. That's the theory. Everything is leading to a conversation and an action plan on sustainability. Maybe today, in the reality, it's far from being there. Anyway, we see, I think, Jonathan, good progress. I would say maybe, sadly, we are late, no?
Yeah, I agree.
Now, regular listeners to The Procurement Show will know that I like to end the interviews by asking for three very special things. My three categories are Chinese, Indian and Italian.
Yeah.
They are, of course, my three favourite categories of takeaways.
Yeah.
But, of course, for a discussion like this, we're not talking about food. We're talking about key thought takeaways. So, please, can you give me your three takeaways from today?
Takeaway number one, thank you so much for making those podcasts.
We can all learn a lot from that.
And even for me, by the way, preparing them, because the questions were not always easy. So takeaway number two, I think I've said long life category management, and we should stop killing maybe all the traditional tools. And in many cases, those killers, by the way, do not propose any alternative, except maybe a platform. Mm-hmm. And a software is not a methodology or a process. Software are necessary enablers, but they are not a solution in terms of process or methodology. Takeaway number three, category management has been there, I think, for many years. It's still very hard to get full and great category management. So we just need to be super courageous to continue to evolve the methodology, to evolve the usage. And it's not about creating a competition between the human and the machine. It's really about a 50% a human, 50% machine. So finally, for all those reasons and much more, procurement is really a great place to be. It's hard. It's evolving now quickly, and it's fascinating. So we need courageous people on board. That would be my conclusion, Paul.
Well said. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Stefan Morrell, thank you so much for joining us. It's been brilliant to have you on and talk about category management and the future of category management and digital category management as well. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have you seriously not seen the XL games?
No, I haven't.
I'm going to go and show it to you on YouTube right now.
I haven't. Yeah.
You've been listening to The Procurement Show. Contact us by email... hello@theprocurementshow.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn, search for The Procurement Show, and on Twitter @procurementshow. Visit us at theprocurementshow.com. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, enabling the future of procurement in organizations around the globe. Copyright Positive Purchasing, all rights reserved. Produced by Fresh Air Studios.